In this hour of In-Depth with Francis Rose, agencies across government think about the mobile revolution in at least two ways. One way is their own workforces and how the people that work for them want to use mobile technology for better productivity. The other is about citizens and how they want to use their mobile technology to connect with the government. Mobile is the focus of our industry chatter today. Scott Armstrong, Chief Strategy Officer at Inadev, is my guest. Scott, it is great to have you in the studio. Thank you for coming in today. Let's start where we always do by having you give me the elevator speech about what you do for your clients in the federal government space.
Sure. Thank you for having me here today, Francis. Inadev provides our government customers and agencies custom enterprise-class mobility solutions that tie into their back-office systems and also the mobile web solutions as well.
What is the most common question that you get from agencies about mobile right now, Scott?
It often revolves around security, whether it's an application for internal use or for government-citizen interaction. There's a lot of questions about security with making sure it's still FISMA compliant and that with PII is secure and things of that nature.
It seems a little odd to me that you're getting FISMA questions, and which to me says compliance questions, which goes to checking off boxes rather than the questions being formed around is, am I going to be able to keep my stuff safe? Is that the way some of the questions are directed to, or is it really still based on a compliance culture in your view?
There's two aspects of it. For when they're thinking about a new application, there's a lot of compliance requirements where they're still worried about FIPS, crypto, and things of that nature. And that's kind of the checkbox that they always want to make sure that they have done. Where they're worried about more of their internal applications and their mobile workforce, that's where it gets into more of the data and the security around that data and making sure that they can manage policies on the devices.
Because I've been struck by some of the conversations that I've heard lately that there still is such a focus as there is on compliance inside the agencies. And so it's encouraging to hear that we're at least starting to get away from that a little bit. What are the things about security? You mentioned PII as one, but what are the aspects of security that agencies are most concerned about right now? Is it just the fact that somebody can breach their networks and try to extract information?
There's two aspects. One is the PII nature, where they really want to make sure citizen information is kept private and secure and not leaked out. The other aspect is really about data leakage and making sure that the government information stays secure and doesn't go outside of its boundaries. They've had to deal with USB drives historically, and now with mobile devices really carrying around the agency's data in many different formats, that's a major concern.
When we talk about mobile, I know my preconceived notion, and I think a lot of people's preconceived notion, is that we're talking primarily about tablets and smartphones. What should we be looking at when we think about a mobile strategy to think about it holistically and make sure that we're including all the possible things that might be included in an MDM?
Well, if you're looking at trends in the industry right now, there's certainly smartphones and tablets. There's a significant decline in shipments of PCs, so you've got a lot of tablets that are actually more hybrid type of devices, and you're actually starting to get into wearables, even though they haven't necessarily emerged strongly in the government marketplace. So what you're looking at is really the mobile endpoints can be almost any device, mm-hmm. not just a smartphone or a tablet.
Because you mentioned USBs, and that's one that I don't ever think of when I think of mobile, and yet it seems like it would fit into that category very much.
When you're looking at mobile security, that's something you definitely have to address.
Mm-hmm. The wearables thing, that's something, I imagine that includes things like the watch that Samsung has come out with and Google Glass and those kinds of things. Are you starting to get anybody asking you about those kinds of things in government yet, or is that a little bit too early for those kinds of, because those are all very, very new.
There's, from an R&D perspective, within some of the what I would say more forward-leaning agencies like the DoD and whatnot, they're doing R&D around those initiatives because it's the ability to put additional sensors out there in the field that change the way they can interact with the environment. Probably on the civilian side, I'd say that I haven't seen that as much.
Mm-hmm. Let me pursue the idea of the hybrid tablet, too, because I wonder how much these lines are going to blur over maybe the next year to 5 years. One of the first things that I saw people adding to their iPads was an outboard keyboard so that you could type in more efficiently than you could on the keyboard, on the screen. And it struck me that if you wanted to do that, then a PowerBook might become more appropriate for what you want to do, especially depending on the applications that you wanted to run. And so it strikes me that we have the potential to see a tremendous blurring in the kinds of devices on networks in the next couple of years. Does that matter as far as how someone goes about setting up a strategy right now and trying to execute it?
It does matter, because you should expect that the mobile environments or device markets will get, it'll be a heterogeneous market, and the innovation that'll occur out there, it's not just an Android device, but it could be a specific Android device by a certain manufacturer that maintains it a certain way. You'll see Microsoft doing their own innovations, and probably if you're looking 3-4 years down the road, there's going to be more innovations than we can even predict at this point.
Is there a space for something to come along that we don't see right now? I think a lot of people believe it's either going to be it's going to be Microsoft and Android and iOS, and that's pretty much it. But as fluid as the marketplace is, I wonder if there's space for somebody else to get into it.
I think there's always going to be space for something innovation to occur.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing it occur on the network side of things, where there's now software-defined networking, and that's something 5 years ago people weren't really predicting was going to occur. And within the mobile space, I think there's could be a lot of more innovation, especially as you get into sort of the wearables and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. What impact is virtualization having on the kind of work that you're doing, the ability to see the same thing irregardless of where you are and what kind of device you're using?
I think it's really an enabler for people to be able to learn how to collaborate and work in any environment they're at, whether it's, in essence, a home environment, on their smartphone, or on their tablets, and people are expecting it to be there now.
Mm-hmm. That expectation is driving something that I think has been different. You've been in this market for a long time. Have you seen a time before when the end user is driving the desired technology from the bottom up, rather than the agencies and the leadership in the agencies driving the technology from the top down?
Yes. Yeah, so the first time I'll say that I saw this occur was really during the commoditization of the PC marketplace, where agencies were on a refresh cycle that was, say, every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people would then start buying equipment at home that was twice as powerful as work, and they wanted to be able to work in the same environment and at the same speed they could at home. And that was a part where the technology was innovating rapidly, the prices were coming down, and that drove kind of the consumerization of IT at that time, and
mm-hmm.
that's what we're starting to see again.
Is it happening on the same trajectory? Is it happening faster or slower? And from an agency perspective and a strategy perspective, does it matter, or does it just matter more that you're trying to play, maybe not catch up with your workforce, but you're trying to maintain a parity with the technological capability of your workforce?
I think it's occurring more rapidly this time than it did before, and I think agencies are looking at it from multiple perspectives. One is, can they transform the way that they're working and do it more cost efficiently because of the constrained budgets? But the other one is meeting the expectations of the new workers in the workforce, where they come expecting to be able to use smartphones and use these technologies that they went to college. This is how they grow up. This is what they do. And that expectation is just there.
How much of that expectation are they able to meet right now, because you have not just the technology aspects of this, but then you mentioned the budgets, and that's another issue that agencies are dealing with?
I think it's addressed slightly different on an agency-by-agency basis, depending upon mission and budgets and where they can truly drive an ROI for having mobile applications.
Mm-hmm. Scott Armstrong's my guest. He's the Chief Strategy Officer at Inadev, and we'll continue our conversation about mobile technology and tie it to another buzzword that you've heard a little bit about when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Scott Armstrong, of InnoDev is my guest on Industry Chatter today. And we've been talking about mobile, Scott, and I wonder if we're at a point now with mobile technology, because you also serve customers in federal space when it comes to cloud. Are cloud and mobile now so intertwined that you can't do one without the other at this point?
If you want to have an effective mobile strategy, I think they really are intertwined, because you're not just talking about a cell phone anymore. You're really talking about interactions between multiple devices, whether a tablet, a smartphone, or your traditional laptop or desktop. And at the end of the day, you need to share files and collaborate and do things across a cloud-based service, whether that means an internal private cloud for a government agency or other public or viable services for you. It does require cloud-based services.
Where are we as far as understanding of the cloud? Has FedRAMP gone a long way to helping agencies understand what exactly the benefits are of the cloud?
I think we're well along the way, but still maturing from that perspective. FedRAMP is doing a great job at maturing the ability for reusability of the cloud implementations, but I still see in many agencies a lot of people focused on private clouds for a lot of their initiatives.
And that doesn't seem to me to be dramatically different than maintaining their own servers if they still want to be the owners of it. They just seem like they're doing it in a different way.
It is it and it isn't it. For some of the agencies, they're going down a cloud deployment that's also providing shared services, that's scalable infrastructure, that's got a lot of the attributes of the public clouds, albeit in a private one. Mm-hmm. And for that perspective, you still get a lot of the scalability and cost benefits, although not to the extent of a public cloud.
Mm-hmm. What are the different criteria that you see agencies using and maybe what they should be using and aren't to determining what kind of a cloud configuration will work for them is suitable for the different purposes?
I see many of the when they look at FISMA moderate or low applications, that's typically what I see going out to the clouds first. Mm-hmm. I think with most of the other applications, they're looking at the private clouds or internal sources for those.
Do you think that will be the way that this kind of stays for a long time to come? Or as agencies get more comfortable with the cloud, will they be willing to shift stuff from private clouds to public clouds when they see the return on investment potential? Or maybe be willing to make the leap from server environments to the cloud into public cloud environments when they see their colleagues at other agencies get more comfortable with the idea?
I think in the next 2 to 5 years, you'll probably see a significant increase in moving to the public clouds. A lot of that will either be due to better understanding or better control of the data and privacy and encryption of the data in the public cloud so they know it's still secure in that environment.
What are the biggest steps that companies like yours have taken to ensure security in the cloud?
It includes a pretty rigorous security review around the entire end-to-end transactions that you want to be doing in the cloud, within the cloud, and making sure you put in the appropriate security controls, which always includes appropriate encryption of data at rest and transit and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. I talked to start this part of the conversation off about the interaction between mobile and the cloud, and it just seems that being able to access information anywhere, security is obviously issue number one. What are issues number 2, 3, and 4? Is it primarily revolving around the applications and the ability to access the applications through the cloud on the devices anywhere? Are there other things that people are interested in, worried about, et cetera?
Another area people have a lot of attention on is how you do authentication within the cloud and mobile environments. There's a strong desire to potentially be leveraging, you know, PIV and CAC cards and things of that nature, but that can be an expensive proposition with how you do certain things. So there's people that are looking to take advantage of derived credentials. That's kind of what I'd call an emerging space with some recent specs out from NIST. But that's where there's a high level of interest in being able to kind of do that unified access methods across all devices.
Do you see an ideal identity management solution, or do you have a kind of a concept of what it would look like if it existed?
Well, I've been following the NSTIC initiative pretty closely, and I think a lot of the initiatives that they're driving is on mark although I still think trying to find the right innovative solution for the higher level authentication methods you would need within the federal government in a cost-effective platform is still challenging.
Mm-hmm. Scott Armstrong of Inadev, the chief strategy officer there, is my guest on Industry Chatter today. We've talked about a couple of elements of what we expect to see in the future. When we look at this market a year or 2 years from now, and I know that even that is a stretch in a market that's as fluid as this is, but what are some of the things that you see people wanting today that maybe we don't quite have yet, but being possible in, we'll give it 2 years for a little bit of flexibility, but being available in the near-term future?
I think people like to see an environment where they could take a personal device or a government-furnished device, being able to log on and authenticate to that device, whether through biometrics or voice identification, have it work through and be HSPD 12 compatible, and just be able to work in a streamlined environment without barriers to be able to access and work with their data, but have it done securely.
I continue to be surprised by the amount of agencies that are struggling with bring your own device programs, and not struggling from the perspective of understanding them, but struggling with the idea of what happened to all the cost savings that we were supposed to see. They're realizing that the infrastructure that goes along with them and then the ongoing costs are maybe not going to save them as much money. Is this turning out to be a bigger surprise for agencies than maybe they thought a year or 2 years ago?
I think it's probably turning into a little bit more surprise, and they're still trying to learn where the savings are going to come from. Is it going to come from the telecom expense management where somebody else is doing that versus paying it off through a government agency? Or is it going to be coming through increased efficiencies that you can have by having certain things available to an employee all the time?
Because I was struck by one agency that went to BYOD, and they got 77% adoption. But that still means that 23% of their employees wanted to keep the agency BlackBerry. So they, and that was a lot higher number, I think, than they expected. I thought they expected a lot more people would want to bring their own devices and use them. Are you seeing results like that? Is that consistent with what you're seeing across agencies?
I think it is consistent, and it's probably a little bit generational with who's going to want to keep their BlackBerry. If they've been using BlackBerries for 20 or 30 years, that's what they're going to use. And if you look at somebody fresh out of college that's been using whatever device for the last 5 years, that's what they're going to want to use. So it's definitely transition.
Is that a number then that you might expect to see shift as the workforce shifts and as more people come in who are, I guess, mobile natives, as the term goes?
Yes, I think you'll see that shift significantly, probably in the next 5-6 years.
Okay, so agencies are kind of, but you really mean it then when you say transitional, because agencies are going to see this change. And it's not just a matter of setting up an infrastructure and leaving it sit there for an extended period of time. This is something that people are going to continue to have to mold and shape as time goes on.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. That molding and shaping, how do you build that into whatever strategy you're trying to formulate today when your agency's ready to make the shift, even if all your employees aren't quite yet?
Well, I think you need to plan for the transition, but also try to plan on how to help people make that transition and have incentives there to transition to a BYOD environment. There will be some people that will resist change and say, I've got this device, I don't mind having a separate one. But if there's an incentive for them to move, I think that's a way to help facilitate that.
Then those incentives will not just be probably technological either. They may have some productivity incentives and so on, would you say? Is that
could fair be to productivity
say?
Incentives. It could be combined with a telework program. It could affect a whole multitude of ways you might want to incent people to move forward with a program like that.
Overall, when we look back at this, maybe we'll use the 2 year number again. Do you expect the promise of BYOD to deliver on, or will we see a delivery on the promises that we've had on BYOD over the last couple of years, do you think?
Maybe not to the extent that some people believe the promises that were made in the early days, mainly because many things always get a little overhyped and overpromised in order to help sell it. I think, from the productivity perspective and adjusting to how workers and the agencies need to evolve, I think people should still embrace it, but perhaps temper their expectations a little.
Always good advice when you're trying to work in the federal market, isn't it, Scott?
Yes, it is.
I appreciate you being here today. Scott Armstrong is the Chief Strategy Officer at Inadev, my guest on Industry Chatter today. We'll archive this conversation at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.